This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And I need a cough button today because it is smoky out there.
Just driving home at the end of the day yesterday, I actually decided, you know, it's not too hot. I'll roll the window down.
Bad idea.
I got home and I had a bit of a headache.
Yeah.
Just in a 10-minute drive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really smoky. It's hazy. I heard Dave on the weather this morning. It's hazy. I'm like, no, Dave. It's smoky. It's not hazy. It's smoky.
Call in the bear because it's smoky. Come on.
I know. All right. Well, we've got a great show. We're going to jump right in. Joining us in the studio, yay, because last time, of course, we were on the phone and we can talk about that, is Solomon Yu is here and Carrie McQuiston, authors of the new book, Counterscript. It is so good to see you guys.
Thank you, and thank you for having us.
Oh, yes,
good
always.
To see you.
Yeah, yeah, it is good to see you, because last time we had you, my gosh, that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
There was the person, I when we found out what actually happened, it was some guy who was reckless driving and was going like 80 over that bridge and ended up like going over a side rail, back down.
Yeah, like went up on the barrier. You know, luckily he came back onto the bridge rather than over into the water, but it hit about six cars, I believe.
I don't believe there are any fatalities or anything, but it was just, it was like Ricky Racer out there. And so that's what happened.
Well, we wondered.
my understanding is actually he is a well-known reckless driver in the area.
So why is he still on the road?
Yeah, a lot of people were posting. This is like the Mercedes driver, and he's well-known, has a reputation, and I believe it was an educator at Chemeketa.
Oh, the plot thickens. Gosh. So anyway, that was why. So it's great to have you in studio. So again, you are, and anyway, in between that time and now, I finished the book, and I was doing a lot of traveling, and I was reading it on the road. And honestly, it's very well written. I could not put it down. I found it just absolutely fascinating. So, Solomon, this is your it is a personal memoir, and it is also a political memoir.
Correct.
And so the first part deals with your childhood. So we talked a little bit about that last time you were here. That was so compelling. I wanted more of that too. It was fascinating.
Yes. And also was painful because...
Well, I have to imagine bringing all that back up and reliving it.
Right. And she squeezed out of me.
Well, because Carrie was with you for the whole process. About a year, Carrie?
Yeah, it took about a year. And honestly, a year is not that long of a timeline for a book that size.
Yeah.
I thought we clipped through it pretty quickly, really.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting part was that I start dating her. So when you're dating, you get to know each other and you tell lots of stories.
Mm-hmm.
And she started taking notes. I said, honey, why did you take notes? There is a book there. You understand? Oh, yes. Okay. And I didn't take her very seriously. Then she's starting writing down those bullet points. Now you have to fill the blanks.
You do know what she knew what she did for a living, though, right?
Yes, I do. I do.
She kind of publishes books.
Yeah, but it was getting worse.
Well, I just sit here and I go, dating in the 2020s, you know, with these young people, they're posting everything on social media. So they're creating a video account where she was taking actually handwritten notes.
Oh, right.
No, actually, she was doing Signal. We using Signal communication. She was putting the stuff down in the Signal.
Okay.
And so that way she already got an outline or bullet point done. And now you have to fill out the blanks. And she was investigative reporter. And one of the things is she is digging. It was very painful when she started digging because I had to go back to all the bad memory, not the good part. And so with that, my grandpa Johnny is a good example. Because that is a bad memory for the entire family, and also trauma, if you will, right? And I totally got a mixed feelings about my grandpa. He got me out of China and saved my life, but at the same time left us behind. I had to defend him, defend his capitalism, and got myself into trouble. So it's kind of, we had to slow down a little bit there.
Yeah.
And so it took 1 year.
Yeah. Well, and the complication of it, because he left the family, and then of sort of the culture and the sort of the honor culture.
Yeah, that's another mixed feeling, because mm-hmm. you brought up respect your elder,
yeah.
right? Honor your elder. But at the same time, how can you honor somebody who is a hypocrite
mm-hmm.
because he got himself involved in Methodist Church as an elder, and then he is having he was having an affair and
with the church secretary
yeah. Yeah.
and bring that woman to Hong Kong instead of my entire family and left us behind
mm-hmm.
and we got persecuted. And I was even defending him. So it's kind of mixed feeling.
Yeah.
You talk about, you know, if there is trauma, that's the trauma, right?
Right.
And that was the reason I never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the one forced me to look back. And she even threatened me, if you want to marry me, you better look back.
Mm-hmm. I so did not say that. Never happened. He's just jumped from nonfiction to fiction.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, again, because you're talking about the honor culture and then you getting out. And what I got from the book is you were always very outspoken. You had a very well-defined sense of right and wrong. And when you felt that something was, that justice was seemed to be a big theme.
That's correct. And being brought up as a Christian
mm-hmm.
and family being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel injustice and you always want to do things right way and want to defend the people who can't defend themselves,
mm-hmm.
and including, you know, my grandfather definitely was guilty of having an affair and being a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, nothing wrong with his tailor shop and practice capitalism, that need to be defended. So that was kind of hard for me from that perspective
yeah.
as well.
So you talk about him getting you out and the context and the way you got out. You were a young man. You were a teenager at that point.
That's correct.
And it got out meant got you to Alaska, America.
Right. And that part, I'm grateful
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that's why the entire book, when credit is due, I do give him credit. But when the things he said, for example, first time I said, Grandpa, would you take me to your church?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the first time I would be in a real church in Shanghai, never been to church.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what for? I said, thank God for getting me out. He said, you have to thank me. I got you out. I said, well, you know, God, I was being diplomatic. And God worked through you and get me out. And
that's an example of God using something and someone very not good to mm-hmm. do something good.
Yeah,
totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. So the book writing itself got us knowing each other much better because she is giving this kind of analysis.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know.
Yeah, if I didn't break up with you over that, I wasn't going to break up with you over anything.
That's interesting, though, because this is you're pulling it out. This is your personal story. Did you take a different look at it as far as from like an author, an editor hat then and have to look at it differently? A little more strict or?
Yeah, a little bit more professionally.
Yeah.
You know, you have to there's certain things you have to have in a book that keep the pages turning.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have things kind of in order like a story. And that was one of the things. When someone tells the truth and is remembering,
mm-hmm.
they don't do it in a linear fashion. They bounce all over the place.
Yeah.
And then the details come later. You know, when someone's lying or making something up, they go very deep into details,
mm-hmm.
straight in a line, and you know something's off. And Solomon's story, it went in circles back and forth.
That was a difficulty for me because when she tried to bring everything out, then my thoughts went everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so start with this question, wind up somewhere else.
Yeah.
And she had to slow me down and stop me and take a note And so we will come back to visit that point. But meanwhile, let's finish this story.
Yeah, because every memory is going to spur something else, and it could be somewhere 20 years before or 20 years after. And
the timeline is another issue, because timeline, even though she made me back up my story. And so I have articles to back them up. I have pictures, but exactly time, because where you're going to put this in the book is very challenging.
Yeah, we made sure we had newspaper articles. We had witnesses. You know, some of the things in the book are not going to make a few people happy. Mm-hmm. And we had to have the evidence to back up and make sure that we had that solid to prove that everything we were saying and writing was true.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and kind of you're now in the United States, Oregon. I want to dig a little bit deeper into that, because the political side of that is fascinating, too. And anybody who's been involved in Oregon politics is going to recognize a lot of names and things like and situations that happen. So, again, we're talking with Carrie McQuiston and Solomon Yu, authors of the new book Counterscript. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Miller's Barbecue, this segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering and Color Tile of Salem.
Somebody didn't get breakfast.
Well, I think it's the smoke. My eyes actually feel a little burny right now. Maybe I can't read a script.
And smoky, it's like I'm thinking of brisket. All I want is brisket. Okay, we're talking today with Solomon Yu and Carrie McQuiston, authors of the new book Counterscript. So we've kind of gone from childhood to Alaska. Now, obviously, you're in Oregon. You've been in Oregon for a long time. Both of you, actually. Carrie, you're born and bred, multi-generations.
Generation, yeah.
Yeah. So why Oregon?
We looking for a place to start my lay wife, Dr. Yu's practice.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw an opportunity when elder doctor in his 70s tried to sell his medical clinic by asking for $2 million.
Ooh.
And we visited, and my MBA kicked in. I told my lay wife that in Salem, you really don't need buy anyone's clinic, because you got lots of retirees and they're begging for a doctor to take them on as new patients. So why don't you just walk across the street, hang your single, and who is going to manage my practice? I said, I will manage your practice. Well, you can't do it between your glove business and between your rental properties. How in the world you're going to manage my practice? I said, well, we will manage it. And so we wind up literally, you know, hiring her single and open her practice. That's how we got it.
Okay. Salem. And of course, Salem, I mean, Oregon, it is beautiful. And then you had come from Alaska, which is a big, big, big country, been down to Oregon, and you settled down here.
Right.
So then at what point, like I said, when we were talking earlier, you've always had a very defined sense of right and wrong that came through very much in the book, and a sense of justice. And so you politics seems sort of a natural progression for you.
Totally. And first thing I got myself involved was opposing Hillary Care.
Oh,
and
yes.
If you remember,
I do.
Because Hillary Care, from my perspective, is totally government taking over health care. And that means we're not going to have decent doctors. That means we will be treated just like Canadians on waiting list. Mm-hmm. And that is a nightmare. And you can't have that. So that's how I got involved in Polk County Republican Party Central Committee.
Mm.
And pretty soon became vice chair. And from that position, I ran for chair, then ran for national committee man.
Okay. And so and you were in that role for many, many, many years.
I served 24 years in that role, and got elected and re-elected 6 times. Those are 4-year term. My last day of the service was the last day of 2024 RNC National Convention, July 18th. That was my last day in office.
Okay. So you go into a lot of detail in the book. And again, like I said, if you're involved in Oregon politics, you'll recognize a lot of names, a lot of things that happened. And I remember coming away going, I had no idea how much influence you had, how much you did nationally, how much you raised the profile of Oregon nationally, for one, and how important that really is.
Totally. I ran on that.
Mm-hmm.
And because my former partner, National Committee woman, June Harley,
mm-hmm.
and she'd been telling everybody, each time she went to national meeting and she introduced herself, told fellow RNC members she is from Oregon, and people say, I'm sorry for you. Why? Oregon is nobody, and nobody know who Oregon is, did not contribute anything to the national politics. So I was running first time 2000 on the platform, I'm going to put Oregon on the national map. I did.
You did. You absolutely did. And then, and you know, part of that also, a lot of it is fundraising. Of course, the chair's main job is fundraising, but the National Committee Man and Committee Woman is, you represent us at the national level with the RNC. And so part of that was bringing events and bringing speakers and things like that to Oregon, many of which you did were very successful.
Yes. And one of the thing I promised to bring a presidential debate to Oregon, I got that debate.
Yeah.
And Mitt Romney cancel it.
Oh, there are Mitt Romney stories in this book.
Oh, so front. You know, and it's funny because he was the nominee, and I remember kind of being like, yay, I guess, okay. Yeah.
John McCain stories, too.
There's John McCain stories. There's one, and I want to bring this up because I was a part of this one. This was one that came in for, it came to Marion County. And of course, this is America's Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And he had come to speak, and he brought some pink boxer shorts. And so we were all very involved in that. And there was an incident when he was speaking, and there were a line of hecklers, protesters, and he decided, I'm going to go down there and talk to them.
Yeah, unfortunately, and four women took over. You and Susan Jones,
yep.
Donna King, mm-hmm. National Committee woman, and plus who else was there?
Chris Barreto was there. A lot of Marion County was there.
Right.
And we just kind of grabbed our phones and went down there with him, and he just went down to talk.
But you four women were packing heat.
Of course.
And so one thing I knew, Ohio's office called Marion County Sheriff's Office and asking for courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
So wind up, they send one patrol car, only one. Bill Currier, state chairman, then got upset and walked over, say, you guys only send one patrol car. And see what's going on there.
Yeah.
And we don't want him getting into a fight with them. And he walked over and wanted to talk to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And answer some questions. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They were all over. They were ready to beat him up. So you guys walk over with him, protect him, and put him in the car. And then we took off.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that day, we raised lots of money for ORP.
And somebody got a pair of pink boxer shorts.
Yes.
I don't remember what anybody would have paid for them, but I mean, but there were a lot of events like that all over the state that were very successful in fundraising to fill the coffers of the ORP.
Yes. Those big names come mm-hmm. to Oregon each time I bring them in as a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never had an event losing money, always making money.
There were years when Solomon was bringing in, you know, 4, 5, 6 big speakers for big events mm-hmm. every year. And, you know, you're looking at a huge ORP event every couple months.
Yeah.
I could have bring Trump to Oregon for a rally. And Carrie and I talked Trump into come to Oregon.
Yeah.
And ORP killed it.
That's so frustrating.
Biggest frustration, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, was it intentional? Was it paperwork? Was it negligence? I mean,
spite.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, they were ready to recall me mm-hmm. as national committee man, and they don't want Trump come to Oregon, and that helped me win the recall. And so what they did was Trump campaign asked ORP to fill out a request. Mm-hmm. In the request, there is a question. Are you willing to share the rally cost? That time, only $250,000. Now, I can raise $1 million. Mm-hmm. ORP would keep $750,000 for that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so $250,000 is nothing. Guess what? ORP refused to share the cost. That goes our Trump rally in Oregon.
That's disappointing.
It was frustrating. I mean, he personally shook our hands and said, let's do this. Yeah. Let's get it going.
And this was after, you know, a couple of decades before saying, Oregon, I'm sorry, when you were getting, you know, people apologizing and saying, Oregon or what?
Yeah, where are you located?
it was particularly frustrating because, you know, we have President Trump in front of us saying, hey, let's do this. And then we know he's flying into Nevada. It would just have been a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, yeah. So that would have been great. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour. So I'm going to pivot over to national because there's so much fascinating stuff that went on and that you were privy to that both of you have been privy to at the national level, especially during the Trump years. So again, we're talking with Solomon Yu and Carrie McQuiston. They are authors of Counterscript, a political and personal memoir. And we're going to take that break for the bottom of the hour news. Again, you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this hazy Tuesday.
A little fog.
Just fog.
with the you know, smoke particles in there. Yeah.
Brisket. Makes me think of brisket. That's what I'll have for lunch is brisket.
There you go.
Okay, we're talking today with Solomon Yu and Carrie McQuiston. They're co-authors of the new book, Counterscript. So another part of the book that I loved and couldn't put down. You guys, I mean, you really have gotten to do, because of the connections and the networking, and really everything in politics is networking and forging those relationships. But you've got to do some really... Number one, very important work at a national level. And then you get to do some really cool stuff.
We've been having a lot of fun lately.
Yeah.
I think we've had more fun politically since Solomon left the ORP.
That's true.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true. And for one thing, I don't have to do politics side of ORP anymore.
Yeah.
Or politics side of RNC anymore, right? And so you can focus on policies only. And that's the fun part. And the other thing is you can do networking as well. And one of the things came out loud and clear was during the acceptance speech 2024. And Newt Gingrich and his wife was one aisle in front of us at the... What lounge was that?
In the Liberty Lounge.
Lounge.
So when President Trump was actually accepting his nomination in front of the microphone, and he said the sentence that he was accepting, you know, officially the nomination, we looked down and saw, so Newt Gingrich and Calista Gingrich were seated just right in front of us there. And Newt choked up.
Oh.
I mean, this is historical.
Yeah.
We watched him kind of dab at the corner of his eye, and he was choking up watching that happen. You know, very loyal to President Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
But for us to be seated right behind them experiencing that, and then we ran into them again later at another event, you know, a few months later, and I got to tell Ambassador, you know, Calista Gingrich, you know, we saw that. We were behind your husband when he did this.
Wow.
So, and when Hogan came out.
Oh, God.
Hulk Hogan.
Okay. So we watched that on TV. And it, I mean, I stood up and cheered. I mean, it was, and I'm not even a wrestling
cheered.
Fan. Well, that's what I'm going to say. You were there.
Well, we were there.
What was that
now,
like?
Liberty Lounge, the major, major donor millionaires. Okay. And those guys would jump up down cheering.
In their suits and cufflinks and
that's
silk ties.
They had, you know, the dresses on. Yeah. Like they were going somewhere else.
Yeah, I was shocked. to say the least.
I had my friend Debbie from high school. Uh-huh. And had her up in the lounge with us. And so, and of course, Debbie and I know every WWF wrestling theme song back from the 80s. And the whole place burst out singing that, you know.
Oh, wow.
And Solomon's, what did I get into?
Yeah, my only question is did anyone stand up, you know, rip their shirt and then do the muscle pose?
No.
None of that.
There was a line to draw there.
Yeah. That's a bridge too far. So you didn't have sort of the cultural context for that at all then?
No, not at all. I don't even know who he was to begin with. But I was in shock. See, I know those donors.
Yeah.
And I saw them usually in a very civil, very nice setting. And for them to behave like this.
Nostalgia kicked in.
They all turned into 13-year-old boys in that moment.
Exactly. And woman, too. Oh, my God.
That was so much fun.
I love that. So, but you guys also then, you got to go to a lot of the balls and a lot of the celebrations and spend time on that circuit as well.
Yes. And we met with Argentinian.
What?
President.
Was it Milei?
Milei.
Yeah, Javier Milei was there.
And the funny part was I reached out to his scheduler, presidential scheduler, mm-hmm. happened to be his sister, and invite him for our Worldwide Freedom Initiative as one of the speakers. Mm-hmm. So when Carrie said, hey, here's the President Milei. And
yeah, I said, is that the president of Argentina over there? And Solomon said, no. Mm-hmm. And we kept walking for a minute. I'm like, oh, yes, it is.
He's kind of hard. He kind of has a distinctive look.
Yeah.
Yes. So two of us walk over and the sister saw us and saw my tag and she recognized me. And so we talked to her and a little bit. And she said, let's meet my brother. And that is a long line. People want to shake hands with him, have picture taken.
Mm-hmm.
And she just cut us through the line and everybody's screaming back there, hey, you can't cut through, you can't cut through. And she said to them, they're friends. So we got our picture taken and invite him again to be the speaker. And he was very gracious.
Nice.
So that was a fun part.
Nice, nice. Now, you also, your eyes perked up when you said the word policy, which some people would be like, really? Policy's fun?
Policy is fun.
Policy's important.
Is fun. Policy
talk to us a little bit about that, because you've been involved in a lot of policy making as well.
Right. Two of the many policies I went through and passed as RNC resolutions. One of the policy was seal the border and do the mass deportation as Trump's trendy promises, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And that was I authored and got through a RNC resolution and passed unanimously. And Trump took those policies, turned into his platform for 2024 as his trendy promises. He ran on that. Mm-hmm. So that was very successful. The other one was COVID. I passed a RNC resolution and condemned CCP for weaponized and biowarfare against Americans. We lost 1.2 million lives and billions damages to our economy and asking for reparation. And that passed, and Trump at one point asking for $16 trillion. Now, remember, Chinese economy, that's a three times more than Chinese GDP, annual GDP.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that will bankrupt them. We can take over China without filing a single shot.
Mm.
So that was my moment to get back to CCP.
Yeah. Because that was a running theme through the book as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And so those are my signature policy accomplishments.
And we're still working on double taxation right now.
Right, because Republicans overseas is another venture that you've been a part of. And so Republicans that are living in another country are taxed twice.
Right.
So you're working to change that as well.
Right. Trump made a promise 2024 to end double taxation for them. And now we try to figure a way legislatively and legally to end it. So Carrie and I are still working on it.
Are you getting pushback on that? Well, what about all that money? How do we replace all that money?
No, actually, that was a very interesting part. We find a way to pay for it. And we are going after, based on our principle, treat Americans equally as foreigners. Not even America first yet, okay? Mm-hmm. Just equally. Do you know foreigners, especially Chinese investors, those commies do not pay property tax, also do not pay capital gains tax, and when they sell U.S. investments. And also they own farms right next to our military bases. It's a national security issue for us. So we're going to make them pay capital gains tax. And so they will be treated just like you and me. And we can generate more money to pay for our double end taxation, you know, than. So Treasury see this as a revenue generating bill now.
That's always good. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't really had any pushback. It's been very positive. You know, we've been working with the White House, their staff, several of the different departments. We've been up and down the halls of Congress, and it's been really positive. We just have to figure out a way to get it across the finish line.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And again, that's networking and building those relationships over the years. And yeah. I just had to ask you quick, real, just kind of jumping back to COVID a little bit, because of course we had Fauci and all what happened last. I mean, any impressions on that, or did that surprise you at all? Because I think you've kind of, well, a lot of us knew anyway, but
right.
Yeah.
It didn't surprise me. And also he is the one giving money to CCP, Wuhan lab to do again, a functioning research and then lie to Congress. And one of the problem he is facing right now, because Biden gave him amnesty and he refused to testify. And now we can go after him for obstruction.
Good. And I'm hoping that we do.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Okay, let's take our last break and then we'll kind of pivot back and wrap up our conversation. Again, we're talking with Solomon Yu and Carrie McQuiston, authors of Counterscript. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Oh, today might be the day.
It's a good day, especially talking all this smoke in the air.
They have brisket over there. I need to send like a message. Get some brisket over there for me and make me a wedge sandwich with brisket.
Oh, there you go. And of course, you know the voice of Cozy's very well.
I do. She's pretty cool.
That's right. Top notch.
Okay, we're wrapping up our conversation today with Carrie and Solomon. So, again, reading the book, again, I could not put it down. It was fascinating to read, very readable. I learned a lot of things. It brought back a lot of memories. So I think for a lot of readers, it's going to do that as well. Remembering certain times, especially within Oregon politics. And there are a lot of names that people will recognize, situations that people will recognize. Overall, how are you feeling? Because you're Oregonians and you have no plans to be anything other than Oregonians. We've got a race coming up, a gubernatorial race. How optimistic are you for the future of Oregon?
I am very optimistic, and for one single reason. Democrat Party is imploding.
Isn't it crazy? Oh my gosh.
And they have a civil war.
Yeah.
We have not seen anything big time here yet, but everywhere else. So Oregon always a couple decades late, but we will be there. And one party rule. And now they have civil war, and this is a good news for us. It show us you can do socialism and communism forever, and people recognize that. And New York is a good example of that.
Yeah.
And Seattle is another good example of that. And things are happening. Portland is going to face the same issue here. And so for me, two reasons I'm not going to go anywhere. One, I'm a freedom fighter. I don't cut and run unless like the situation back in communist China, right? The second reason is if we lose this country and lose this republic, we all have no place to go. This is it. And for that reason, and Kerry and I start OCC, Oregon Conservative Caucus. And that will allow us go back to the basics. Basics are very simple. Voter registration, voter education, and get out of vote. Now, one thing in Oregon is very, very interesting. We have a state vote by mail. And I think Washington, Colorado, you're doing the same thing. And so during one of our DC trips, Kerry and I were in the White House and discussed the fact, the possibility when Trump pushed through Save America Act, what would happen if somebody do not show citizenship and register to vote? What would happen if somebody do not present voter ID at a polling places? That means the election results could be challenged because Congress passed Saving America Act. And so is Oregon federal delegation in jeopardy, or is Oregon federal delegation could be challenged? The answer is yes. And if that's the case, what would happen to Oregon vote by mail? The answer is they might have to split federal elections. You have to vote in person, present IDs. And state election, you still can vote by mail. So that become a end run on vote by mail. How about that? And plus, Harmy is going after, that's Harmy Dillon, is going after Oregon voter roll. And when that cleaned up, Oregon has a future. And we can win in Oregon again.
And that's a narrative that I hear a lot, because a lot of people, because one of the things is voter apathy. Republicans, a lot of Republicans just aren't voting. And so, but I will hear the excuse of vote by mail. So that kind of takes that off the table. And then you need to have sort of groups like the or OCC in there to get Republicans remotivated to vote.
Yeah, remotivated to vote on one hand is you need to tell them, educate voters, tell them why you're voting. And voting is not just a civil right. Voting is, you know, is a way to defend your own liberty and freedom. And the other thing is you have to have a mechanism to get out the votes. And that should be a party function. But unfortunately, Oregon Republican Party is very dysfunctional. And that's why we started a alternative organization focus on three basic stuff.
Yeah. And getting back to basics usually is the key to a lot of things.
Totally.
So you see, we have a few more minutes. Because again, 2022, I've seen some polling. I've seen one poll where I think the Drazen campaign is saying that they're, but it's within the margin of error as far as how high they are. I follow social media, and I know you do. I know you have a pretty vigorous X account out there. I'm seeing a lot of comments, and you look at the ratios when Governor Kotek puts something out, and the ratio is not good, the negative to the positive. Is social media, it's not really the real world. Is it indicative of maybe a shift? Or is it just social media?
Just social media. And you can't judge anything based on social media reactions. On the other hand, key to all this, key to Drazen's race is about turning out voters, turning out Republican voters and independent voters who would vote for her. And if you don't do that, then you got a problem.
Yeah.
So that's the bottom line.
Yeah. And Kerry, of course, you have experience in running those races. And now I heard something about a third party, somebody getting in. Of course, in the last race, it was three people. Betsy Johnson was in there. What gets frustrating, I think, from our perspective, hash it all out, duke it out in the primary, but then there has to be unification after that. And I'm seeing it seems a little better this time around. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, it seems to be without the stronger third party candidate this time. There's a little bit more of that, I think. The thing that gets me is people pinning all of their hopes on polls this early.
Yes.
Because, I mean, Kotex put out a poll showing herself 5 points ahead, and Drazen's put out 1 4 points ahead. And I would ignore both of those at this point. I think they're kind of nothing burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a little bit closer until, and then you'll have an idea.
Yeah. And the new wrinkle in all of this, watching it, is the poly markets and the Kalshis, where people are putting money on it.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting trend. Solomon, you smiled at that.
Yeah, because if you think about those markets, and it was not good prediction for Trump's election.
Yeah.
See, it was great for me. I did it one time.
Did you? I haven't done it yet.
One time, made $200 and quit. So.
Oh, okay. We have to talk offline, because I've been like, I don't really understand this.
I'm not a gambler.
I'm not either. I feel like if I walk into Vegas, I'm like, just take my money at the door. I'll go get a drink. How much? We have a couple minutes left.
We've got about 2 minutes.
So just as we wrap up today, I mean, just any personal reflections? You've kind of reflected over your whole life to put this book together. It's been a project of love and a lot of passion and some pain probably for both of you. But here you are, and the book is out. And
yes, after the book was done, I decided I'm going to marry her.
You made it through that process.
That's
correct.
I don't
think anything can break you up.
Well, you heard, if you two people build a house together, not likely to divorce, right? And two of us put the book together and not likely to separate. So it's a safe bet. And so we're getting married.
I know. I love that. It's great.
It's a whole new chapter after the book, I guess.
Totally.
And you're a young man. I mean, you still have a whole lot. You could do volume two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I plan to do that.
Yes.
She's already taken notes for it.
Well, you know, this whole conversation is being recorded. Did you know that? Well, again, it's always a pleasure to have you both. Like I said, I read the book. It's been out there. It's a really good read. It's just an interesting, fascinating read. And you can get it anywhere books are sold. It's out on Amazon. So I would encourage, I think when I was talking to another author, I said, I can't recommend it enough. No, I highly recommend this. You want a positive statement out there, because it really is a good read. Overall, you glad you did it?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad she beat me out of the book. I have Bruce.
You're back in fiction land again.
He's into the fiction.
Well, any great writer can bounce back and forth a little bit. Come on.
Thank you.
So, but you do, you got big events coming up and lots of family and everything else. And so you're going to stay involved via the OCC. We'll link up all the websites for that too, because that's an organization that people want to get involved in.
Wonderful.
The Oregon Conservative Caucus as well. We'll link up everything to the book. And again, always a pleasure to talk to you guys. Solomon, you have a fascinating life story. I was utterly fascinated.
Thank you. And thank you for having us.
Yeah. Anytime. All right. We are going to wrap up. Go out there. Really, really try to stay out of the smoke as much as you can. It's really bad. So we got another great show lined up for you tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.